You're listening to the Restless Nomads RV Radio Show on Gold Country Radio and heard around the world with a broadcast-to-podcast campaign. Check out the origin of this broadcast. It's on Gold Country Radio originally, live, and you can check us out at goldcountryradio.org. I'm sorry, goldcountryradio.org to see other community shows like Make It Out Alive, also The Life Outdoors, Hunting Southern Oregon, Terrible at Fishing, Fishing Tips and Tricks, lots of community shows that may be of interest if you are enjoying the Restless Nomads RV Radio Show. Okay, let's get into one of the main reasons that people may cross a border, especially the Canadian border. If you're going to cross the Canadian border, most people are heading up there to hit the Alcan en route to Alaska. And the Alcan is one of the biggest bucket list journeys for adventurous RVers, but it has its unique challenges. Some things to think about. The Alcan is historically known for its really rough roads, so just be prepared for thousands of miles of potholes, frost heaves, gravel sections. You need to be planning for weather. There's a sweet spot, you know, because they do maintenance on the road. There's kind of a sweet spot when the road construction is almost done before the winter season, essentially. So August, September might be a good time to head up there. But you also need to think about getting back, and you don't want to be caught in the weather and not be able to get back on the Alcan. Fuel and supplies are really, really limited on the Alcan, and you have to think about that. Gas stations can be up to 100 miles apart, so you do not want to be riding around with a quarter tank and that's all the fuel that you have. Most people that do the Alcan actually take cans of fuel with them just in reserve for emergencies. They take plenty of water with them just in case your vehicle overheats or you end up breaking down and you need to drink that water. Take some food. Take all of those emergency supplies. Really important to have some extra security, because you are venturing into no man's land in some pretty remote areas. Of course, if you're going to be traveling on the Alcan through Canada up to Alaska, traveling with others is always a good idea. Just like hiking, you don't want to hike alone. And if you're going to be taking on the risk of traveling the Alcan, one of the things that many people do is they caravan, which is just going with other RVers. And that way you'll have support if you break down. It's a whole lot safer. You know, if your vehicle breaks down, worst case scenario, you can leave it, jump in somebody else's, and get to safety. Because let's face it, out there in no man's land, there's a lot of wildlife, and there's a lot of exposure to the elements, and some bad things can happen out there. So it's a good idea to travel with friends. Now, if you're not brave enough to entertain taking the Alcan, but you want to go up to Alaska. Now, let me say this. The Alcan has beautiful scenery. Driving through Canada, it's all about the journey, not so much the destination of Alaska, although Alaska is wonderful. But if you have to be in Alaska for a job or something, and you want to avoid the risk of going on the Alcan, you can have your RV ferried to Alaska. And like we said in the beginning with the news, they do have some special discounts for RVers now. And if you are going up there for a job, many times the deal is that the company that hired you will pay for your shipping cost so long as you honor your contract and work the entire season. So keep that in mind. If something doesn't work out, you decide to leave early, you're going to be on the hook for that shipping. But the Alaska Marine Highway System is a great way to bypass all those rough roads. Generally, the ferries will charge you by the length. So the longer your RV, the more that you are going to pay. and you want to make sure that you measure your rig accurately so that you're not paying unnecessarily. If you have a 26-foot trailer and you tell them it's a 30-foot trailer, you will be paying unnecessarily for footage that you don't have. That's where a little Class B camper van might be a lot better in that scenario. Now, one thing that I've heard about these ferry trips, I have not done it. Angie and I have not put an RV on the ferry. But keep this in mind, too. You're going to put your RV on the ferry, and you will likely not be able to use it for the duration of the ferry ride. So it's not like you're going to be sleeping in your RV. They don't allow that. You'll have to either rent a cabin or rough it and sleep in the coach section on the ferry, in the seats. But there's some liability issues, and they do not allow you to use your RV, especially cook on it and that kind of thing. I've also heard this. If you have pets, they do stay in the RV, and I believe that there is like twice a day. It's something kind of unreasonable. You have to keep them in your RV, and you're only allowed to go down there twice a day to let them out for 15 minutes at a time or something like that. So it's rough, man. If you've got pets, it might not be a good option at all. I don't think I would feel comfortable leaving our dogs in the RV for, 23 and a half hours a day. That seems excessive to me. Maybe other people are of differing opinions. And, these are things that I've heard in conversation, so it's important to do your due diligence and research this. But I know that was one of the red flags and one of the reasons I said, yeah, we probably would never do that, because you have to book that cabin if you want to sleep in a bed. You're not allowed to sleep in the RV, and the pet issue. So let's talk a little bit about overseas shipping. If you are heading somewhere other than Alaska or, a bordering country that you can just drive right into, you may be tempted to ship your RV, whether that be to Europe or Australia or something like that. And there are some things to consider when you're going to do that. First of all, it can be really expensive. So you have to balance these things out. You got to make sure your registration and your insurance is going to be good wherever you're going. Also, make sure that your insurance is going to cover the unit while it's being shipped, because that might require a whole different policy. So it's important to check with your insurance provider and ask them, hey, will my comprehensive and full coverage cover the RV while it's in transit to some other country? And then we talked about the driver's license thing. Most countries will allow you to drive on a United States driver's license for a limited amount of time before they expect you to get their country's driver's license. Now, shipping rates can vary widely, so you got to do your homework. Where are you going? If you're shipping your RV to Australia, it's likely to be more expensive than if you're shipping your RV to Hawaii. Now, why you would ship an RV to Hawaii, unless it's like a little Class B camper van, I'm not exactly sure. Hawaii roads aren't really built for big rigs, that's for sure. Another option that you might entertain if you want to avoid some of the high freight costs of shipping your RV and all the headaches that come with it is just flying to that country, or even taking like a off-season cruise, a repositioning cruise, they call it, to that country. And then once you get there, rent an RV. And that is hugely popular. People from Europe and Asia and Australia oftentimes come to the United States and rent a camper van or an RV, and they tour the United States. The same is true for us Americans as we go abroad. There is the option to rent camper vans and RVs and tour those countries. I know one of the bucket list items for Angie and I is to go over to the northern UK, Scotland, Ireland, North England, and rent a camper van there and just go see all the things that we haven't seen, because we've been to South England quite a bit, but have not ventured very far north, and we really would love to see Scotland. We both have never been there, and be able to explore Ireland a little more than just stopping off at the Shannon Airport. So over there in Europe, and this will be true in many countries, you kind of need to do your research, and you will likely be influenced to rent a smaller RV than you would here in the U.S. of A. with our great, huge, wide roads. So drivability is going to be exaggerated in your considerations in other countries, because oftentimes those roads will be narrower, and it's just something to think about, you know. So maybe trade a little living space for a little less stressful travel days. Also, Australia and New Zealand have great rental markets with plenty of established campgrounds. Now, over in Europe, campground fees are really high compared to the United States. They have plenty of campgrounds, but looking ahead at that and planning for some higher camping costs is important in Europe, because they do not have nearly the amount of free camping that we do here in the United States. Another consideration when you're thinking about renting or even shipping your RV and RVing abroad is that driving rules are going to be completely different. So even learning how to drive a Honda Civic in the United Kingdom, where you're driving on the wrong side of the road, is going to be stressful. Now add a big rig to that, and you've just amplified that stress. So think about that. You know, maybe it's a good idea to go over once, stay in hotels or at a resort or something like that, rent a car, and at least learn the rules of the road in a little European matchbox car before you try to drive a big rig. You know, cities and towns are not designed for big rigs in Europe and many places across the world. So some things to think about, and maybe even opt for that smaller camper van rather than a towed rig or something like that. So before hitting the road internationally, make sure that your cell phone plan covers data wherever you're going. Remember that. And also any SIM cards that you need to purchase in order to be able to use your cell phone and your Wi-Fi hotspots. Those are important for staying connected and being able to navigate and also book campgrounds and the like. Well, guys, I hope I shed some light on some considerations that you might take while you're planning an RV trip abroad. It can be a lot of fun. Now, it's not always the most affordable option. You know, it's likely one of the ones that you will be able to see things that most tourists would not. So that's pretty cool, being able to kind of get ingrained in the local culture and maybe spend a little bit more time in places for a little bit cheaper. And it's the same concept as RVing in the United States. The longer you stay somewhere in an RV, the more cost-effective it becomes when compared to hotel stays and resort stays and so forth. I think the cruise thing has it beat by a long shot as far as the economy of it all. It's hard to beat the budget economy, you know, night per, or cost per night of a cruise. But when you take a cruise, you likely will be kind of relegated to seeing only those coastal areas. So it's important to think about that. Don't forget to visit therestlessnomads.com for more episodes. Check out our blogs there. Our most recent exciting adventures. We are getting ready to go up to Crescent Lake. On May 14th, we'll begin our job up there at Crescent Lake here in Oregon. And if all goes to plan and the snow clears out, it's going to be really exciting to host that. And I'm super excited because that's an hour and a half away from Klamath Falls. So we'll drive the trailer up there. I'll turn right back around, come home and pick up our boat. And we'll have our boat all summer long right there at Crescent Lake for some awesome fishing. We've been watching our fishing videos and also listening to Terrible at Fishing with Michael Ruffino on Friday nights, making sure that we can get spun up and we know what we're doing before we start casting our lines in the water. Well, until next time, y'all, safe travels and happy camping. You've been listening to the Restless Nomads RV Radio Show on Gold Country Radio. We'll see you next week. This is Mike.